today. So I thought I was thinking of two topics. One is not of mutual attachment or art of tolerance. I'm still thinking which topic to speak. You can tell me which one to go. Art of tolerance. Okay. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparsastu Kanteya Sutrasma Sukadukhara Agama Payana Anitta Stanti Tikshasa Bharata. So Krishna is telling that non-permanent appearance and disappearance of winter and summer, and also happiness and distress, it comes and goes. But what we can do, we just have to tolerate it. Certain things is beyond our control. Just like we don't want winter, so much cold. We can put on heater, but you're going to change the weather outside at least. So what you have to do, we have to tolerate it. Certain things are beyond our control. So we come to Krishna consciousness, especially in Kali Yuga, out of some distress. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Atto Arthati Gyani Jigyasu. Four kinds of people, they surrender unto Krishna. But in Kali Yuga, the formula is little different. Most of us are Atto, Atto, Atto and Atto. So most of us are very much distressed in Kali Yuga, because the influence of Kali is so strong, we become distressed. So we come to Krishna consciousness with the hope that distress will go away. It's called the desire to be liberated from the distress. So people come to Mayapur sometimes and ask, Prabhuji, this material life is too much. I cannot tolerate anymore. Please keep me in your ashram. Like that. So they feel that Krishna consciousness, if you enter into that, then there will not be any problem in your life. Some practicing devotees also think like that. But that is a misconcept, totally misconcept. Because material nature is definitely going to work. Whether we are devotees or we are not devotees. Krishna has never said anywhere that modes of nature or the influence of material nature will not work on anybody in this material world. So this material existence is like an ocean. So in the ocean there must be waves. You don't see any ocean without waves. So you cannot have a boat, you enter into that boat and enter into the ocean, and by that influence of that boat there is no wave. There is no wave in the ocean. It cannot happen. But we can have a boat with such strong attachment, with such a strong boat, if you enter and go into the ocean, then you will not be influenced by the waves of the ocean. That we can do. So our mind is like a boat, and we all float, our mind floats in the ocean of material existence. But a devotee fixed up in Krishna consciousness, he is not disturbed by the waves of material existence. For that we need to develop the quality of tolerance. Because we cannot change the nature. Just like we want happiness, happiness comes. And happiness goes away also. We don't want distress, but it comes and also goes away. We don't have any control over that. Whether we want it or don't want it, certain things will come in our life. And what we can do? We have to tolerated. And how that tolerance will come, that we'll discuss. That will come only through surrender. More you surrender unto Krishna, more you are fixed up in Krishna consciousness, the power of tolerating the different onslaughts of material nature will be increased. So there are different things we have to tolerate. So I'll discuss today. There are four different types
of things you have to tolerate. So first one is called Bek Sahishnuta. Sahishnuta is a Sanskrit term. I will try to analyze the Sanskrit term and translate into English. I will first tell the four different kinds of tolerance you should develop. So first one is called Bek Sahishnuta, tolerating the urges of the body. Then Dvanda Sahishnuta, tolerating the dualities of this material world. Third one is Paro Mat Sahishnuta, tolerating the opinion of others. And number four, Paro Utkarsha Sahishnuta, tolerating the prosperity of others. These are the four things we will focus on today. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, there are three kinds of urges. Nectar of Instruction says six kind of urges. But Krishna says, three kinds of urges you have. He said, lust, anger and greed. Right? He said, this lust, anger and greed, if you have that, then you can easily go to your place. It's called hell. So this three is called the royal road to hell. Prabhupada translated, royal road to hell. And royal road is a special road where there is no traffic. There is no red light. So you don't have to worry about the traffic. You can go straight to the hell. So this is the strong urges in our body. So first is lust. That is strong. Kamayasya Pradayasya Rajaguna Samadbhava. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this urges will are manifested due to mode of passion. So this material world is run by that force, attachment between the opposite sex is the binding force of this material world. In the spiritual world, binding force is the relationship, the loving relationship between Krishna and his devotees. In that way, spiritual world runs. But material world is run by the attraction, sex attraction between male and female. And everybody is controlled by that. Except the pure devotees of the Lord, everybody is captivated, captured, motivated, disturbed, whatever you can say, lust has a strong influence in our life. So there are big, big people, they can conquer the whole world, but as soon as it comes to lust, they are conquered by lust. So once, Akbar and Birbal, they are walking on a street. And they saw one husband and wife are quarreling with each other, arguing. It's a common feature, right? So husband and wife fighting with each other is a normal feature. Prabhupada said, if husband and wife, they don't argue with each other, then they are not husband and wife. We have to do that. It's part of life. But this argument was a little different. What Akbar and Birbal was seeing, they saw the size of the wife is a little small. Okay? And the size of the husband was really a hefty fellow, big fellow. And they are fighting. Arguing, not fighting, arguing. So Birbal, Akbar saw that size of that lady is small, but her voice was a little different. So he had a strong voice. And this fellow, this other one, the husband, although big body, but he was a little soft. So argument was going on very strongly. And that whole event came to a climax. And both of them are watching, very interesting thing. It's happening on the street, no? So they're arguing and they're seeing that. So the climax, the wife slapped on the face of the husband. As soon as Akbar saw that, he was surprised and thought, what will happen to the wife? Then if the husband slapped her back, then what will happen? She'll be gone. But with big surprise to Akbar, that big husband kept his face like that and left the place. He was so surprised. Then Akbar said, "Is a man or what?" So got a slab and just silently leaving the place. Then Birbal, in Hindi, he said, "Aisa hi hota hai." He said, "It happens to everyone like that." So Akbar got very upset. He said, "I am also husband, so you are insulting me also." He said, "Yes, it happens to everyone. Every husband is like that." So Akbar did not accept. So Birbal said, "Okay, if you don't accept, then call all the husband to your assembly, okay? And we'll just check what is what." So all the husbands are invited in the assembly. So it's a big hall. I think this will be a very big hall. So in that big hall, all the husbands are standing. So Akbar said that, "I'll ask one question. If answer to the question is yes, then you have to walk from the right-hand side of the hall to the left-hand side." So Akbar asked that, "How many of you here, the husbands, follow whatever your wife says? Whatever your wife says, you just follow that. No argument. So if you feel that is yes, the answer is yes, then from right-hand side of the hall, go to the left-hand side." So as soon as question was asked, movement started. Okay, from the right-hand side to the left-hand side. Then Akbar was a bit confident that not everybody will go that side. He was very confident. But he saw everybody is going. And Birbal was smiling. So after the whole thing was over, that one man was standing this side. Then Akbar became very happy. "Say, Birbal, at least one person is there. Exceptions are there. So you cannot say that everybody is like that. So there is one husband in my country who does not follow whatever his wife says." So Birbal said, "Don't be so excited. Let us go and check." So both of them approached that husband. He said, "I asked you a question. And if the answer is yes, then it should have been other side. Means you don't follow whatever your wife says." He said, "It's not like that." "So then what is that?" He said, "My wife said, don't be in the crowd too much. Be away from the crowd." So I am just a little away from the crowd. So if that is the reality, we are all controlled. We are all controlled by this urge, very strong. So there are two friends. One friend is to run a mental asylum. So other friend wanted to see how he functions and wanted to see some mental man. So once he came to see, and he was seeing different chambers and different kinds of mad people. So while he was traveling, taking a tour with his friend, he saw one peculiar madman. He's sitting on the fan, ceiling fan, you understand? You don't have ceiling fan in UK though. But those who have gone to India, they have a ceiling fan. And he was sitting on the blade of the ceiling fan. And he was shouting and screaming, calling out a name. "Rupa, Rupa, Rupa." So he said, "What's going on?" So he asked his friend, "Why is shouting like that?" He said that he fell in love with a girl. Her name was Rupa. So what happened? Rupa left him and ran away with another girl. So he became mad. And because of that, he's screaming, "Rupa, Rupa." Okay. Then he went to the next chamber, next room. And in that room also, he saw same. One person is sitting on the ceiling. And he is also shouting, "Rupa, Rupa, Rupa." So what's going on? He said, this is the second boy with whom Rupa ran away. So this is the reality of this world. We feel that I love someone, but nobody laughs in this world. Prabhupada said that. Everything is loved. So but we get captivated by the so-called love of this world and think he or she will give me the happiness what I dream. So that dream always remains a dream. Because that is not the reality. Because there is no love in this world. That is the fact. So we, practicing devotee, come to a platform when we can realize that anything which is not connected with Krishna, that is not love, that is lust. আত্মেন্দ্রিয় প্রীতি বাঞ্ছা তারে বলে কাম, কৃষ্ণেন্দ্রিয় প্রীতি বাঞ্ছা ধরে প্রেম নাম। হোয়াট এভার রিলেশনশিপ উই ডেভেলপ হিয়ার ইন দিস ওয়ার্ল্ড ইজ অল বেসড অন লাস্টি ডিজায়ার্স, বাট উই গেট ক্যাপটিভেটেড অ্যান্ড উই থিঙ্ক ইট ইজ লাভ। সো লাভ ইজ ব্লাইন্ড, রাইট? উই সে লাভ ইজ ব্লাইন্ড। সো অ্যাজ সুন অ্যাজ উই গেট ইন লাভ উইথ ইচ আদার, বিফোর ম্যারেজ ইজ ভেরি ব্লাইন্ড, বাট আফটার ম্যারেজ সিন চেঞ্জেস। সো ইট ইজ সেড লাভ ইজ ব্লাইন্ড বাট ম্যারেজ ইজ দ্য আই ওপেনার, ইজ সেড লাইক দ্যাট। So one man used to work in a software company. So he used to come very late. And his wife is a housewife. So he had a dream also, but somehow or other, the family life was not so good. So he used to come very late. And wife used to become very angry. Why you come so late every day? And he was like that every day. So one day, suddenly, he came to the house, lunchtime. And wife got surprised. What happened to you today? He said, what I'll tell, today I had a big argument with my boss. And my boss became very angry and told me, go to the hell. So I came here. So I'm just telling, I'm not telling negative, I'm telling the reality. Reality, whatever we feel that is a dream home becomes a hell after the marriage. So, because all the relationships in this world is based on lusty desires or selfish desires. So what we have to do? There is no other way than to tolerate it. Prabhupada said, the sense objects are like the water and senses are like the fire. Putting butter in the fire, you cannot reduce the fire. Rather, fire increases. So by indulging in sense gratification, your senses cannot be satisfied. It will be more active. So therefore, what you have to do? When itching comes, if you do itching, then blood comes out. What you have to do? You have to tolerate the itching sensation. We should not think by indulging in sexual activities, our sex desires will go away. It's a dream. It cannot. So by developing love for Krishna, we can be free from this lusty desire. Until that happens, what we have to do? Tolerate. That is the quality of a sadhu. So, there was a saintly person. His name is... We start thinking, if I become devotee, then that thought will not come. We start thinking like that. But desires are different levels. Thinking, feeling, willing, then action. There are different levels of consciousness. But for a practicing devotee, those who are very serious, the thinking will come because the whole ether is surged with lusty desires. So that will come. And Guru Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, Japatakava used to say, if you throw a ball on a wall, what will happen? So a practicing sadhu is like that. So desire will come and bounce back. So that is the quality of a strong devotee. So desire will come, but it will go away. Who can do that? Who has developed the art of tolerating the sexual urges. That is desire for lust. Second is anger. When desires are not fulfilled, then you become angry. So it is stated that unfulfilled sexual desires result in anger. Any desire, not sexual desire, any material desire. So anger makes your body and consciousness polluted. Prabhupada said, when you get angry, whole consciousness gets polluted and you should take bath to purify yourself. It's stated in Bhagavad Gita, purport. So therefore, we have to tolerate the anger in order to keep our consciousness clean. Once Dronacharya was teaching the Pandavas and he was teaching, we should not become angry. We should not become angry. He was teaching that. So everybody said, okay, we'll learn that. So next day, Dronacharya was asking all the Pandavas, you have learnt it? Everybody said, yes. But Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, I have not learnt it yet. So again, next day, 7 days have gone. And Dronacharya asked the same question, you have learned that you should not become angry? He said, no, till now, I have not realized it. So Dronacharya became very angry. And he took a stick and started beating Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, now I have realized it. Because you are beating, I am not becoming angry. But Dronacharya became angry. So this is the nature of this world. So what is the choice? Choice is that we have to tolerate it. Anger will come, but we should not manifest that anger. We have to tolerate it. Last anger, then greed. So greed is very powerful. In Kali Yuga, greed means greed for money, right? Money talks. As soon as you talk about money, everybody smiles, right? So money is sweeter than honey. So without money, nothing happens. So when we preach, if we pray, then if we chant, money will come. In India they say, I don't know. So without money, nothing happens. So people are very greedy in Kali Yuga. And that greed, we don't become satisfied. We are not happy what we have. And we are unhappy what we don't have. That is the nature. That is the quality of greed. So one day, two friends were walking. And one friend was very morose, dull, glum. So other friend said, what happened to you? He said, no, I am not so. I am unhappy. So what happened to you? No, 3 weeks back, my grandfather died. Oh, really? And he kept £50,000 for me. I'm telling him pounds, okay? So he said, okay. He left his body, that's bad news, but he kept £50,000. So good thing. So no, 2 weeks back, my uncle died, and he kept £60,000 for me. And last week, my auntie died, and he kept £75,000 for me. I said, okay, the death news are there, but you got so much money, you should be happy. So why you are so much unhappy, morose, sad? So I'm sad because this week nobody is dying. So that is the quality of greed. So more you have, more you want to have. There is no limit. So that is the strength of greed. So what is the solution to this? Any solution? We have to tolerate the greed. Temptations will be there, but we have to tolerate. Next from instruction, Rupa Goswami says, Uttaha, over-endeavoring for money, is unfavorable for devotional service. Money can be there, but if you are attached too much and trying for money and over-endeavoring for that is called Uttaha, over-endeavoring. And that is very, very unfavorable for devotional service. What we have to do? We have to tolerate the urges of greed. So we have covered beg sahishnuta, tolerating the urges. And we covered 3 urges. Lust, anger and greed. What happened? Okay. Tolerate it. And second is Dvanda Sahishnuta, tolerating the dualities of this world. Summer, winter, birth, death, happiness, distress, like that, opposite, dualities. We don't have any control over that. So what you have to do? You have to tolerate. And how you can tolerate that? By developing a positive attitude. So once Srila Prabhupada got a finger cut, and he said, this is also mercy of the Lord. How? I was supposed to die by my head was supposed to be cut. But Krishna is very merciful. By his mercy, I got only hand cut. That is the mood. That is some positive mood for the mercy of Krishna. So, generally, if something good happens in our life, we take it as mercy of the Lord. So I've got a good job. Krishna is merciful. Chanting has some effect. So you say like that. So if something good happens in my life, so Krishna becomes very merciful in our consciousness. But if something bad happens, so as soon as, before joining Krishna consciousness, I had a very good job. After I started chanting, I lost the job. So you'll say, Krishna, you are very merciful. By your mercy, I lost the job. How many of you can say that? We cannot. Because we don't have that quality of surrender unto Krishna. So, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam explains who is qualified to be liberated from this material world. When distress comes in our life, if we take that as the mercy of the Lord, he is a qualified person to go back to the spiritual world. So, seeing Krishna's mercy in good time is not a big deal. Seeing the hands of Krishna in a bad time, that is the quality of an advanced devotee. That's why Kunti Devi is praying that please give me distress so that I can remember you. Because when you have good time, it is easy to forget Krishna. But bad time comes, then it is easy to remember Krishna. So therefore, the pure devotees, the advanced devotees, they pray for distress in our life. So at least, not praying like that, Kunti Devi, at least we should try to tolerate and see that is the mercy of Krishna. So once one man was crossing the river, and he was in a boat and he did not have any watch, and he wanted to know what's the time now. He said, how to check it? And one big fellow, hefty fellow, was sitting next to him. He had watch. And he asked that person, what's the time now? Very gently he asked. As soon as he asked that, that big man punched on his face. What's going on? So other friends became very upset. He said, we have to teach him something. So the other friend said, okay, wait. So that person asked very gently. As my dear sir, I asked you a question. What is the time? But why you punch me back? He said, that is my style to tell time. Strange style you have. So how? He said, how much punch you got? One punch. That's 1 o'clock. So the friend said, got very upset. He said, that's the way, and we'll also give you. Then that friend said, who got the punch? He said, Krishna is very merciful. Krishna is merciful. How come? He said, I ask the time now. If I ask the time 1 hour before, what will happen to me? So Krishna is very merciful. So that is the way that story reveals that how to develop positive attitude. And you can tolerate it when you have that kind of positive attitude. So I'm not telling if somebody punches you, to tolerate, but I'm just trying to give you some lesson that how certain time you cannot do anything except tolerating it. And how you can adjust your mind by developing this positive attitude and tolerating the so-called disturbance from the material nature. So that is Dvanda Sahishnu, to tolerate it. Third one is Paramat Sahishnuta, tolerating the opinion of others. Very interesting. In Kali Yuga, tolerating others' opinion is very difficult. That's why family splits, no? So previous days in India at least, we used to have joint family. And it was going on nice. Father, grandfather, uncle, so many people used to stay together. So nowadays concept is small family, happy family, right? In India this is slogan. Small family, happy family. We are two and another two. Means husband and wife and two kids. Happy life. So that is also very difficult. Tolerating each other is very difficult. Husband and wife cannot tolerate each other. Because difference of opinion. Whatever I say, that's the best. My way is the highway. So we cannot tolerate it, others' opinion. But how we can stay together? Because every individual must have different opinion. Otherwise, individuality will be gone. But when you have some higher purpose in your life, then you can tolerate the difference of opinion between ourselves. Because modern society does not have any higher goal in life. Therefore, it is very difficult for individual to tolerate each other. So there are three friends. And they cooked kheer, you know kheer, condensed milk, in ISKCON you must know kheer. So condensed milk, very tasty. So they made it in the evening And after he was made, they started fighting. Who will eat how much? He says, I will eat this, I will eat that. So they started fighting. So okay. So we are not coming to an agreement. Better don't eat this evening. So tomorrow morning we'll eat. And we'll sleep now. And who will eat? Who will have the best dream at night? You'll be allowed to eat the khir. Okay, good agreement. They came to an agreement like that. So in the morning, so first friend came. Said, I want to eat the khir. Why? He said, I had the best dream today. What is that dream? So in the dream, I went to Brahma Loka and met Lord Brahma and shook hand with Lord Brahma. So Brahma is the top living entity and Brahma Loka is the top. So I should be allowed to eat the khir. Okay. Second friend appeared in the scene. He said, no, you will not get the khir. I will. Why? You went to Brahma Loka. I went to Mahesh Loka. So Lord Shiva is superior to Lord Brahma. So you just shook hand with Brahma. What I did, you know, with Shiva. I embraced Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva is superior, so I should get the khir. Then third friend appeared in the scene. He said, okay, wait. I had a better dream. What dream? So today I had a beautiful dream. In my dream, Hanuman came. He is a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So in the dream he came, he said, my dear son, so why you are sleeping? You don't know there is a pot of kheer in the kitchen? And you are just sleeping now, just now. Go to the kitchen and eat the kheer. So how can I disobey the order of Hanuman? So I went into the kitchen and ate the khir. So other two friends got very upset. He was so selfish. He should have called us. He said, okay, I wanted, you also came to my thought. Then I came to call you. But what can I do? You went to Brahma Loka. And you went to Mahesh Loka. You are not there. So I had no other choice than to eat the khir. So that is the nature of this world. Every people is very selfish by nature. So therefore, what do you have to do? You have to tolerate it. So you have to tolerate it because each individual is selfish and we have to tolerate the selfish nature of other people. We should not expect, unless someone is Krishna conscious, he must be selfish. So you have to tolerate others' opinion. So fourth is tolerating the prosperity of others. Para utkarsha sahishnuta. Very important. Envy. Envy we have. That's why you don't like others' prosperity. If someone becomes prosperous, we become very unhappy. But what is the quality of a Vaishnava? A devotee becomes very happy when someone is happy. And a Vaishnava becomes very unhappy when someone is unhappy. But material world is opposite. If someone becomes very happy and prosperous, we become unhappy within. So two friends are very good friends till they get a job. So as soon as they get a job, if one friend gets more salary than other, then friendship starts what? It will split. Because you start envying that friend. You don't like that we studied together, we are almost the same rank, but I am getting less salary than him. So we become envious and don't like that person. So that is the reality of this world. So we are not happy what we have. Rather, we are unhappy what we don't have. We compare. So comparison is the cancer of the mind. So as long as the comparison will be there, you cannot be happy in this world. Because at every step in your life, somebody will be superior to you. Right or wrong? You may be the richest person according to you, but there will be somebody above you. So how you can be happy? Unless you have that contentment within. That is the quality. That is the quality of the mind of a pure devotee. So pure devotee is satisfied within. Krishna is Atmaram. Why? He does not depend on external to become happy. But we, the conditioned souls, we want something external to become happy. And external situations will always change. And it will not be according to our expectations. So we feel unhappy. So therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that who is Atmaram, Brahma Bhuta, who is happy? He is telling Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma na sochati na kangsati. Samasarvesi bhuteshu madhukti lavate param. Krishna is telling, who can become blissful, always happy? Brahma bhuta, who can become? If he has two qualities. Na sochati means no lamentation. Na kankshati, no hankering. Hankering and lamentation is the quality of the conditioned soul. If we lose something, we lament. If we don't get something, we hanker for it. Right? Hankering and lamentation. That's the material world. So as long as you have that, you cannot be happy. And you'll have friend and enemy. Who is your friend? Who will be helping you for your hankering and lamentation? He is your friend. And who is not helping you for your hankering and lamentation? He is your enemy. Right? So that is the concept of friendship and enmity in this world. Who helps you to what you want to achieve, he is your friend. If he does not help you in your achievement, he is your enemy. But if someone does not have any hankering and lamentation, does he need any friend? Or he will treat anybody as enemy? No. Because he has nothing to achieve in this world. There is no hankering, there is no lamentation. That's why Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma na sochati na kankshati samo sarvesu bhuteshu. Then he becomes equal to everyone. That concept of friendship and enmity goes away from his life. Why we become unhappy? Because we consider somebody as enemy. My mind disturbs. If someone is friend, then it's good. But somebody may become friend for some time, then that same person becomes enemy also. Because of the dualities of this world. But a person in Brahmabhuta stage, he does not consider anybody as friend or enemy. Everybody is equal to him because he has nothing to lament, he has nothing to hanker for. And in that state of mind, he becomes blissful. Brahmabhuta prasanna atma nasachati nakamsati samasarvesi bhuteshu madbhakti lavataparam. At that stage, you develop love for Krishna. So, then the question will come, so how to develop that? No hankering, no lamentation. How? And that is also given by Krishna. Who can develop that? So development of that consciousness will come when we accept the principle given by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He has given a peace formula. Bhaktaram yoga tapasam sarva loko maheshwaram. Suvidam sarva bhutanam gyatamam santimichyati. Who can become peaceful in the mind? If he knows three things. Krishna is the only enjoyer, Krishna is the only proprietor of everything, and Krishna is the only friend. If you know these three things, Gastamang Santivichati, then Krishna is telling you will become peaceful. So now question will come, why Krishna is the only enjoyer? We cannot accept that. I like to enjoy also. Why Krishna only? So Krishna says, no problem. You can also enjoy. To enjoy something, you have to be the owner of that thing. Someone is a proprietor of something can enjoy that thing. So the owner of this house can enjoy this house. I cannot come and enjoy this because it's not belongs to me. So who can enjoy certain things? If some things is owned by somebody. So center of our enjoyment is centered around our body. We think that this is my body. I am the owner of this body. I am the proprietor of this body. So I have the full right to enjoy this body. Krishna says, no problem. So, if you want to be the owner of this body, then you have to establish one more quality. Quality of an owner is that he has to be the controller. So if you want to claim this body belongs to you, then you have to establish that you can control this body. So how many of you here can control your body? Very sad news. But we think we are the controller. So if we can control the body, then what we'll do? Stop death. So no more death, my dear body. Body should be eternal. Then body should be youthful. We don't want to become old. We don't want to get disease. We don't want this. But it happens in our body or not? Happens. So who is controlling? At least not me. Right? Someone else is controlling my body. He's coming to my way, which I don't want. But he's coming. So who is doing that? Krishna is telling that I am doing that. And he's telling that in Bhagavad Gita, Deino asmin yatha dehe, কৌমারক যৌবনক জরা তথা দেহান্তর প্রাপ্তি দৃঢ়স্তত্ব নামুহতি কৃষ্ণ ইজ টেলিং ইজ নট ফর ইউ অনলি ইজ ফর এভরিওয়ান দ্য ল ইজ দ্য সেম এন্ড হোয়াট ইজ দ্যাট ল ইট কামস দ্য বডি কামস ফ্রম দ্য উম্ব অফ দ্য মাদার দেন ইট গ্রোজ বিকাম ওল্ড অ্যান্ড ডাই দ্যাট ইজ দ্য সিস্টেম অফ দ্য বডি সো ইট হ্যাপেন্স টু এভরিওয়ান সো ইফ সামথিং হ্যাপেন্স সিস্টেমেটিক্যালি ফর মেনি পিপল দেন ইট বিকামস এ ল রাইট ইটস ল ইটস দ্য ল অফ দ্য বডি And who has made this law? Krishna has made this. So law means there must be a lawmaker. So just like in London or in Birmingham. So there is a traffic law. So red light means you have to stop. And green light means you can go. So this is a law, traffic rule. So who has made this? The government has made it. So you may start thinking, no, I don't like this law. Every day same. I want some change. So from tomorrow morning when I drive, I like to have a change. So red light means I go. And green light means stop. Can you do that? Yes, you can do. But after that, then you have to be in a different place. So like that. Why are you going to change that? Because you have not made that law. But government, England government can change that from tomorrow. England government start thinking, okay, from tomorrow, I will change the law of the traffic. From tomorrow, green means stop, red means go. They can do it or not? Why? Because they have made the law. But we cannot change the law because we have not made the law. In the same way, the law of the body, because we have not made it, we cannot change it. We like to be youth. We like to live eternally, but that's not happening. Opposite is happening. Because some different law is there. So who can change that law? Who has made the law? So therefore, to change our life, the first aspect in our life is to surrender. So my dear Lord, I want to change my life, but I cannot change it. Because you have made this. So please change my life. Because you can do that. And Krishna is telling that also. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam saranam braja ahamkam sarva papebha moksha swami masucha. And Krishna is telling, if you want to change your life, surrender unto me. Because I can change it, you cannot change it. So that is the process. But if you don't accept that, if you don't accept Krishna's law, then what happens? You think that something belongs to you. Everything belongs to Krishna. Right? Including my body, we have accepted it. See, if everything belongs to Krishna, then where is the question of losing something? If everything belongs to Him, then what is the question of losing something? So there is no lamentation. Because you don't lose anything, because anyway nothing belongs to me. So what to lose? And if nothing belongs to me, then what is there to appear for? No hankering. So that is the state. That is a pure transcendental state. And at that state, you develop devotion for Krishna. But till that happens, we have to tolerate. Because I think that's mine. I want to be more prosperous than others. Because I think that's mine. This house belongs to me. So my friend has a bigger house. I think I should have a bigger house. My friend has got a better car. I should have that car. Or better car than this. Because I think I own that car. I own that house. So, till that pure stage happens, the process is that you have to tolerate. If someone does good, at least if you don't become happy, at least tolerate that. Tolerate. Otherwise, it becomes very unpeaceful within and you cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. At least philosophically, we should accept nothing belongs to me. I should be happy whatever has been given to me by Krishna. At least philosophically. Then you have a peaceful mind and slowly, slowly you can advance in Krishna consciousness. So there are two, there is a sadhaka and he got siddhi, perfection. And the demigod came and said, what do you want? And he said, please bless me so that whatever I desire, I get it. So demigod said, okay, tathastu. So it will be. He became very happy. He became very happy. And after that, after the demigod said that, he said something else also. But he could not listen to that, because he becomes so happy. He said, whatever you will get, your neighbor will get double. He could not hear that, because he becomes so happy. So he came to his village. So in the village, the house is not so good, so he wanted to have a very nice house. So then in the morning, he took bath and he said, okay, I got the blessings, let me check if it works or not. So he chanted the mantra and he said, okay, I want to have a beautiful house. So as soon as he desired that, the house was manifested. So he became very happy. So when you have something good, you don't become happy by you see only. You have to show it to others, right? That's the nature. If you get something good, you have to show it to others. So he wanted to show to the whole village. So he came out from his house to call the villagers to show what a beautiful house he has got. So as soon as he came out, he saw his next house is double than his house. So all his happiness disappeared. He said, how come? My neighbor has got better house than me, bigger house, double. So he came in. He said, okay, so I should have a two-storied. He got one-storied building, so that neighbor got two-storied building. He said, okay, my house also should become two-storied. So that house became two-storied. So he came out, saw next house, four-storied. So he was just like burning within. What to do? Something has to be done. Something has to be done. Then he came in and again he prayed, let one of my eyes get blind. So he got one eye blind and his neighbor got two eyes. Then he became happy. Now life is peaceful. So that is the nature of all of us to some degree or other. Why? This is the envy within that burns our happiness within. So happiness is nothing dependent on external situations. Happiness is experienced within. And that within, happiness experienced within can be achieved. Not can be achieved, it has to be experienced. And who can experience that happiness? Who starts learning to give. I was discussing yesterday. So that happiness will come not by taking. Happiness comes from giving. We should start learning how to give. Because many of you not there yesterday, I'll take that example also. So there is a lady, very miserly lady. He doesn't want to give anything. And in India, culture is that saintly person go to different householders' house and beg alms and take donations, and by that they live their life. So this woman is to think, these guys, they don't do anything, lazy people. They just beg and eat and sleep. So I want to teach him a lesson so that he will not come to my house anymore. So one day that sadhu came to her house and she thought, today is the day, I want to teach him a lesson. So what she did, she took some ash and gave that to the sadhu. And that sadhu will be very upset. He came for money, I gave ash. So, as soon as he got that ass, sadhu smiled. Said, thank you very much. I'll come to your house tomorrow again. So, lady was surprised to hear that. He said, instead of becoming angry, you become happy. Why? He said, at least you started giving something. Started the practice. So today, you gave me ass. Tomorrow I'll come. You'll definitely give me cash. Start giving. Unless we start giving, we cannot experience. Love means giving. Here in this world we say, I love you. But in the mind we say, what will you give it to me? So that is not love here. Everything is selfish. So there is no concept of love because we all expect something. But love means only giving, unconditional, unmotivated. Anna vilasita shunyam. Jnana karma di anampritam, anukullena krishna anusilanam bhakti ruttama. What is pure bhakti? When we give up all unwanted desires. Anna vilasita sunyam, it should be zero. And we have two desires, mainly. One desire is desire to enjoy, and second desire is desire to be liberated. Bhukti kami and mukti kami. And Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakali asanta. Krishna bhakta niskam atev santa. So how we can become peaceful in the mind? When you become free from desires. Niskam. Krishna bhakta niskam. Free from desires means free from material desire. Material desire means hankering and lamentation. We have to be free from that. And we generally, what happens? We try to become happy and enjoy. When we get frustrated, it's too much. We have to be free. So we have these two desires. But pure devotional service is nothing to do with enjoyment and nothing to do with renunciation. It's neither bhukti nor mukti. Pure devotional service is beyond bhukti and mukti. It's, what is the purpose of bhakti? To please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anukulyana Krishna Anusilanam. When we do our activity for the pleasure of Krishna, means we dedicate our life for the pleasure of Krishna. That is called bhakti. There is nothing we expect in return. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also telling, Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitang, Bajagadisha, Kamaye, Mamo Janmani, Janmani, Sare, Bhavatad, Bhakti, Rahoituki. Rahoituki. No reason. There is no reason I love you, Krishna. There is no reason. I am not loving you because I want money. It's not because of money. Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarim. I don't want anything in exchange. Aslishava padaratang pinastumang adarsadang varmohatang karatuva jathatadava vidadhatu lampato matparanathastu saiva naparaha. So, I want to give you everything for you because you are my master. You can do anything to me. That's your right because I am your property. You can treat me whatever way you like. That is the symptom of surrender. And when you develop that consciousness, then you develop peace within the mind. And in that mood, you can experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. But we are too much attached to take. We don't like to give. We like to take. Even if you come to Krishna, Krishna, I am chanting, please give me happiness. Please give me the feeling. Feeling of ecstasy. You are not giving, chanting for so many years. No ecstasy is coming. Right? We want something. Even if you don't want nadhanang, najanang, nasundaring, at least give me ecstasy, no? So always we have that conditioned mind. We want to take. We don't want to give. But gopis, so when they serve Krishna, so tears flow from their eyes, they tremble, then say, my dear, symptoms of love of Godhead, please disappear from me. I want to serve Krishna. Okay? Please don't disturb. So they don't want that ecstatic symptoms of love of Godhead also. That is the position of the gopis. Why? They want to serve Krishna. Because pleasure to Krishna is much more important than our feeling. But we like to have feeling at least. At least na dhanang, okay. Mahaprabhu has said na dhanang, na janang. At least ecstasy. Please give ecstasy. So that is also has to be given up. That desire also. Because that is also a condition. Why I am chanting? Because I want ecstasy. Gopis don't want that also. That is the highest level of renunciation. You renounce the ecstasy also for the service of the Lord. But we all like to take language. So you have to hear one story. So there was a man, very miser, doesn't want to give. He likes to take. So one day, he was crossing the boat, all boat story, okay? So he was crossing the boat, so one coin, small coin maybe, one pence or 10 paisa or something like that. So fell from his pocket and dropped into the water. For a miser, a coin is also too much to lose. So as soon as he saw that coin fell into the water, his heart got a lot of pain. And he said, what to do? Then he jumped into the water. As soon as he jumped into the water, he came to realize that he does not know how to swim. Now what to do? So his friend said, okay, we have to rescue him, otherwise he will drown and die. So they said, okay, shouting, please give your hand. He's not responding. So what's going on? You have to die or what? Then other friend said, no. You have to say in his language, because he does not understand certain language. So he never understand give language, okay, because he never gave. So tell, speak in a take language. What is that? He said, instead of telling, give your hand, tell, take my hand. As soon as he said that, he took his hand and he has rescued. That is the quality of the conditioned soul. They like to take. But by taking, you don't get happiness, you get frustration. So try to learn how to give. So love means giving. And love means serve. So service is the way to become happy. And who can serve? Who has love. And who has envy? He exploits. Material world is the world of exploitation. Spiritual world is the world of service. Because in the spiritual world, there is only love. And here, there is no love, there is only envy. Therefore, everybody exploits people here. That's why we don't like to become the servant, because we have the fear that we'll be exploited. Rather, we should become master and try to exploit others. But the problem is, if you exploit more, you'll be more frustrated. Because frustration is the byproduct of exploitation. But more you serve, more you get bliss. Because bliss is the byproduct of service. In the spiritual world, there is a competition to become small. Because you become smaller and smaller, then you get more and more service to do. But here, competition is to become bigger and bigger. Because you think if you become big, then you can exploit more. So Krishna rewards accordingly. Whatever you want to become big, okay, you become big. If you want to become small, become small. But don't blame me after that. Because it's connected. If you want to become big, then you have to exploit others. And if you want to exploit others, then you have to be frustrated. But if you want to experience happiness, then you have to become small, servant. Even Krishna wants to become the servant of his devotees. Because by service, you can get love. Experience of love can be done through service. So that is the symptom of a devotee. And we can develop that. And by tolerating all these urges, by tolerating opinion of others, by tolerating the dualities of this world, tolerating the prosperity of others, slowly, slowly you can develop that service attitude or giving to others. Then we can experience the nature of the spiritual world and nature of the spiritual bliss, and slowly, slowly we can develop our consciousness and ultimately get our perfection and go to the spiritual world and eternally serve Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I spoke over time or what? It's almost 9 o'clock. So you can have some question. If you have any question or comment, then you can spend a few minutes. Then after that, prasadam, right? Yes.
I think it's just a complaint you said, sorry, anger. In my view, there's a fine line between tolerance and suppression. Like, for example, we've all been here for many lifetimes and we've developed like the impressions of Sankaras, and because of that, we had the tendency to, like, copy the masters, like Kopa at any time, and right now, I mean, I think for myself, we're practicing bhakti. We're not at that pure bhakti level, so there will be a point where we push to a kind of point where you can't tolerate and you'll be suppressing it for so long it all comes out at once. How do you overcome that kind of situation?
That was another seminar, overcoming anger. So anger, I just gave a seminar, I just spoke today, just giving some idea. If you want to go into that detail, so how to deal with the anger, there is a whole seminar I can give, but so that's a different topic altogether. But the concept I gave, that we have to tolerate it somehow or other. But if we apply the anger, only apply Krishna Desi Jane. It's telling you can apply your anger, just like Hanuman applied anger by burning Lanka. That's the application in devotional service. Just like Mahaprabhu applied anger to kill Madhai. Like that. But we have to be very careful how to apply the anger. So therefore, you have to be very, very careful. That the advice is better to tolerate it. You don't have to suppress it. You can reveal it. You have to reveal the anger in a right time, in a proper way. And this instant repercussions create a havoc, right? So therefore, how to deal with that anger is explained. I can tell you in detail personally. So how to deal with it at a different level. Srimad Bhagavatam also explains how to deal with the anger. But common understanding is that you have to tolerate it. But at the same time, you should not suppress it also. Otherwise, there will be overreactions. Then you have better, we have a worse consequence. That is also true. Okay? Yes.
Because
they want to experience
Krishna's beauty.
So
how would they understand that?
Very clever question you asked. So that is a different level. That gopis were seeing the beauty of Krishna. When comparison comes, when service comes, then they can give up that also. It doesn't mean that they don't enjoy. They enjoy. Sometimes they enjoy with Krishna, sometimes they get separated also. But their main mood is that they want to please Krishna. They are seeing Krishna, why? They want to please Krishna by that. Pleasure to Krishna is more important than their own happiness. That is the main mood, that is the bottom line. It doesn't mean they are not experience happiness. They are always experiencing and they are cursing Brahma, yes, you should have given many eyes, but you have given only two eyes. And that two eyes also blink. Because they cannot tolerate the separation from Krishna. That is different, Vipralamba Bhav. They cannot tolerate the separation. Jugaitam Nimeshana Chakshusa Prabhisayitam Sunnaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vidahaname. That is the mood of separation, Vipralamba Bhav. They cannot tolerate the separation from Krishna, even for a blinking of the eyes. Just like gopi, the cowherd boys, when they used to go for herding the cows, when Krishna for a moment disappeared behind a tree, they used to faint. Because they could not tolerate a single moment separation from Krishna. They used to faint. That is the greatness of their love. So this is two different aspects. Okay? But Mother Yashoda, she was experiencing love by feeding Krishna breast milk, right? But when she saw that the other milk was flowing, overflowing, she kept Krishna on the floor, left Krishna, and went to protect the milk. Why? What is more important, Krishna or Krishna's service? Krishna's service. By that, Mother Yashoda established service to Krishna is more important than Krishna himself. So he left Krishna for the service of Krishna. Right? The next question comes, whose service is more important? Feeding Krishna breast milk or protecting that milk? Which is more important? You ask, feeding Krishna is more important? So which is more important? So she was inspired by Krishna within. Which is more important? Because that milk, that is lost, Krishna will not get that milk for that day. But breast milk is always there, right? She can feed anytime. So she got that understanding. Who gave that understanding? Krishna. Tesang satata yuktanam vajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi jagam tam. Krishna will give that intelligence. Whose service is more important? So we have the choice. Sadhu seva or Bhagavat seva. So you are doing puja in your house. So a sadhu came at your door knocking. Wait, I am doing puja. So which is important? Attending that sadhu or doing puja to Krishna? Attending that sadhu. Who gives that intelligence? But those who are neophyte, they will be very busy in puja. Because they don't know the higher dimension of devotional service. So Bhakti Bhagavat or Granta Bhagavat, which is more important? Bhakti Bhagavat. Because Granta Bhagavat is always there in the house. You can read any time. But Bhakti Bhagavat, when the pure devotee comes, is very, very rare. So better serve them. Because you can read Srimad Bhagavatam anytime. So that intelligence is given those who are sincere, and Krishna gives that intelligence. Which service to give priority? Okay? Yes?
Two questions.
Okay.
the first one, you know what, you were discussing anger, lust, and greed, right?
Yes.
So, I was wondering, sometimes they say that this material world is just a distorted reflection of the spiritual world, right?
Yes, yes.
It's a tree growing downwards, right? So, with lust, I more or less I can understand, because in the spiritual world, there's love, unconditional. It gets transformed into lust in this world, right? How about anger and greed? Are they also manifesting some form in the...
Yes, spiritual world anger is also there, spiritual world greed is also there.
So in what form are they there?
In the spiritual form.
Yes.
Spiritual anger.
So,
spiritual greed. They are also greedy to see Krishna. They are spiritually greedy. So Narottama Thakur also sings how you can engage with this different kind of thing. Kam Krishna Karmarpane is telling that kam, that lust can be engaged in the service of the Lord. When you work hard, we like to work hard, no? Work alcoholic, modern world. So work hard for Krishna. Then you engage your lust in the service of Krishna. Kam Krishna Karmarpane. Krodh Bhakta Desijane. So those who are envious of Krishna, you should engage your anger for them. Okay? Engaging, just like Hanuman engaged his anger in the service of Ravana, burning Lanka. Lobh, sadhu sanghe, harinam. We should have a greed also. What is that greed? I am to chant the glories of the holy name in the association of devotees. So then greed becomes spiritualized. So everything is there in the spiritual world, except envy. Envy is not there in the spiritual world. You cannot engage envy in the service of the Lord. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam explains Nirmat Saranang Satan. Who can understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Who is free from? Okay.
Thank you so much for the answer. And the next one is, you know, you said that nothing truly belongs to us in this world. Even our body, we can't control it. So the symptom of owning ownership is that we can control. So my question is, in this case, can we say that nothing truly belongs to us? Even our body is not ours for keeping, right? So
yes.
Is there anything that belongs to us, or is there no such thing at all? That
yeah, only one thing belongs to us. That is love for Krishna. That is the property of the devotees. Except that, everything belongs to Krishna. You understand? Clear. So try to accept that and acquire that wealth. Then you don't have any fear to lose it. That's the intelligence of a devotee. So they know what is the real wealth. Clear? Thank you. Anything else?
My question actually follows that.
Okay.
If it's lust that we've experienced in all our lives, then how would you say that we've actually experienced real love at what stage in our lives?
Okay. What stage?
At what stage in our lives have we really actually experienced love so that we can...
So one devotee asks Prabhupada, what is love for Krishna? Prabhupada has given a very simple answer. He said, the level of attraction we have for the opposite sex, when that level of attraction will develop for Krishna, that is love for Krishna. Okay? Now, we have to try to love someone, opposite sex. If a young boy and young girl are there together, you have to give a seminar how to be attracted. You have to take a seminar. You have to be attracted like this, you have to be attracted like that, this. No, you are attracted. So when that will come in our life of Krishna, that is love of Godhead. Simple, it's nothing, something unusual coming. We have to be attracted. So when you get attracted to opposite sex, that is called lust. When that attraction is there for Krishna, that is called love. And when you develop that, at the level of bhava bhakti. Till that happens, you don't develop that love.
So we've never really experienced
it. That I don't know which level you are in.
That's what it means.
So, Deprav Devotion says, when you experience love for Krishna, the level of bhava bhakti.
Okay.
But you get some glints at this, at the sadhaka also. So how, then why we are continuing? We get some glimpse of love of God. But it comes and goes. But at the level of bhava bhakti, it stays. Then it, when it matures, then it becomes love. Okay? It's clear? Thank you. Anything else? No more question? So hope it was clear to you. If I have told something wrong, please forgive me for that. And if it is not clear till now, you can ask also personally to clarify certain points. Okay, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, samabhita gaura bhakta vrinda ki jai, nitai gaura premānanda ki jai,
Śrīla 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 Śrī